Yeah, I'm glad to be with you guys today. This is not small to me, because what you're doing is big. And I was just thinking, the worship that you had could be placed in any church that's out there. It was very powerful, it was very heartfelt, and it was good. I mean, that's unusual. Sometimes they go to church and hear good music, but it was really good music. And I came because I believe in Mickey and Krista and what you're doing here in San Francisco. There's not too many churches that have your vision, but also have a heart to reach those who normally wouldn't ever go to church. And that shows by the stands that they're taking, the bold stands that they're taking, with many social causes and those who have been left out of the church. So I'm really proud of you, and I want to make sure that you know that there's many people watching you and want to encourage you in your quest to follow God. Now, this is your fifth anniversary. My understanding is that if you look at the wedding anniversary of a couple, that usually that fifth year is like the year of the wood, and it's supposed to be something like long-standing strength. That's what's supposed to reflect, that you actually made it. It's demonstrating that you have roots. But it also shows that after 5 years, like if you survive 5 years, you've gained some wisdom. And then you also have learned what forgiveness is about. Because most things don't last 5 years, whether they're marriages or whether they're companies or churches. So for you to make it to 5 years is big. It's really huge. So I celebrate that with you as 99 Church. What I want to go over today, I think, is really the heart of what I believe you're called to be and be a part of, whether it's inside the building or outside the walls. And so if you have your Bibles, check out Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll talk about it. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And it says this: "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" By the way, thinking of Gaza, it's funny that we're reading about that. I don't know about you, but I've been depressed just watching what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah.
You know, the genocide that's occurring there. I took a trip to Israel multiple times. I've been there about 5 times. And my first trip was a time when we were celebrating my anniversary with my wife. And I was looking forward to those like big Holy Lands trip where you're all excited. But actually, I walked away. My wife and I were depressed by the time we were done, because we did an alternative Holy Lands trip where we just didn't go to the typical like Israeli Zionist type focus perspective places, but we went to the Palestinian side. We went to Bethlehem. We went to meet Palestinian Christians. And then we saw the walls, and we saw the checkpoints, and we saw the houses that were razed. And I said, wow, I had no idea. And I said, man, as Christians, we've been fed a bill of goods sometimes about how, you know, God, of course, loves Israel, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you promote injustice to others, and while you may show favor to one.
Yeah.
And so I just had a totally different perspective. But yeah, just reading that, you know, let's remember to keep praying for peace and ceasefire in the Middle East. It says, so he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandaki, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, hey, go over and walk along beside the carriage. And Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, well, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: he was like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, well, was this prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop. And they went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. And he noticed this. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on its way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Now, you notice in verse 39, it says he snatched Philip away. You have you ever watched Star Trek much? This was the first incidence of a beaming up, that we know in Scripture. Can you fathom that you get literally beamed up from one place to another location? I mean, that's a pretty divine, supernatural encounter. When you think about your life, and you think about encounters with God, or even encounters with people, what are you craving after? What I'm finding that this generation is really about is not so much religion, but they really crave like spirituality. It's very different than religion. Religion tends to be bound by hierarchies and laws, rules, whereas spirituality is transcendence, purpose, meaning, significance, those type of things. We're seeking that, but we want it in a real way, but something that's tangible. I remember building the church down south in Southern California. I did it, we're going to be celebrating 30 years this coming year, 30 years. And, we have the same heart to reach those who are the outcast. And I was just thinking about how, we have this really big show. We had multi-campuses, multi-sites. But something was missing. And I didn't know exactly what it was. This young evangelist, who's very charismatic, he came and spoke to our congregation during one of the services. And he had led these revival-type things in China, where thousands of young people would come to Coliseums. And so I told him I knew his kind of fire, and I said, hey, our crew here, though, and this was back then, I said, we hardly raise our hands sometimes during service. We're kind of chill, And so I said, you have to kind of be cool with it, and learn how to adapt to the setting. I got with you and everything, but just kind of know the people here. And so anyways, he did his message, and at the very end of the message, he goes, Dave, man, and he whispered to me, he goes, there's 1,000 people in that one service, and he goes, hey, I think God's moving here. Do you mind if I lead people in healing prayer? I go, yeah, go ahead, man. Fine. So he goes, hey, does anybody need to be healed? And the whole congregation came forward. There's a ton of people. So I'm thinking, something's going on here that I'm not really familiar with. Because I had studied the scriptures all my life. I went to a Christian school, I went to a Christian college. I went to seminary for 4 years, got my master's theology degree. So I had learned to exegete the Bible. I knew religion. But this is kind of different. And so I remember I went to my favorite place on Monday after I preached. It was Yogurtland at the time. And Yogurtland, the guy that invented Yogurtland was at our church. So I got this free pass where it's get as much yogurt as you want. It was a gift from God, man. And so I got this really cool pass. And so anyways, I'm at Yogurtland on Monday by myself because I, it may look like I'm an extrovert, but I'm a real introvert. I love just being by myself. I tell people I love the small group of me, myself, and I. This is I'm a happy person to be when I'm up by myself. So I'm in Yogurtland by myself, eating my yogurt with, little sprinkles of nuts and very simple, plain yogurt. I don't like too much, other stuff in it. And as I'm chowing down, this guy comes walking in, this pastor that was there on Sunday. He goes, oh my God, I can't believe you're here, man. I've been praying for you. You got this gift of apostleship and all this other stuff. He goes, you mind if I pray for you? I said, I'm thinking, I'm eating my yogurt, man. I'm just kind of chill out. But he goes, no, can I pray for you? I go, of course. And so he said, let's go outside. And so we went outside, and there's this long line. At that time, Yogurtland was just rising in popularity. And so he took me right next to the line. And then he put his hand on my head, the charismatic style. He started pumping me, man, with his head. Have you ever seen that when they start pumping you? It's like a wushu type of power or something, And so he's pumping my head, and he's praying for me. I'm just getting super embarrassed because he's starting to yell, because he had no cognizance of or self-awareness, it felt like. And he's just yelling God's fire upon my life. And I'm just like, I can't even hear what he's saying because I'm so embarrassed. And then I heard in the middle of it all, "Aw, Dave, you care more about what people think than receiving my power." Wow. And it just hit me. And it broke me for some reason. I remember I just started weeping. And like really hard. And I have never done that, like in public especially. And I'm sure he's really excited. He's like, "Whoa, man, his prayer is working," you know? But I just was like broken because something hit me where I thought all my life I've been trying to like impress people. Because I remember I was like the minority in Arizona. I had to prove myself, man, that I was just as good as you. I could be better. And so I had that type of posture in my life. And so anyways, that broke me. And as he's praying for me, I said, "But God, I can't do it like this guy, though. I mean, you know, if it's really to follow you, you know, and to be fully, like, surrendered to the Holy Spirit type of thing, I can't do it like him." And then I heard something again. "You don't have to." Wow. "You know, my Holy Spirit is like the introvert of the three of us."
Come on.
Like, who's going to say that but God? Because it's true, the Holy Spirit, if you think about a stage, he's behind the curtain. And Jesus and the Father are main stage. His arm's kind of protruding out, and he's pointing towards them. He's the comforter, like he's the guide. And I had never seen the Holy Spirit represented that way.
Wow.
I always thought it had to be hyped up. You know, you had to do fire tunnels, or you had to be slammed on the floor. You had to have all this energy. Whereas I tried that because I felt, man, I needed to get that rolling, but I just couldn't do it and be authentic. Not that it's bad. And I honor everybody that has that flow, but it just wasn't clicking with me, man.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that, I just told God, "If that's really true, I want all of it. I mean, just give it to me." And since that moment, you know, it's about probably 10 years ago now, my life shifted. And I feel like a child. And it's true that as you grow older, you can grow younger. You know, because if you think about maturation of yourself, the church, as you mature, you become more like a child. That's what it says, a child shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so what is the aspect of a child that really helps one to grow in this ability to experience him in this supernatural, spiritual way? That's all yours, whether it's an introverted or an extroverted style. So I look at this guy, Philip, and you know, he was an evangelist, and he was leading many people to Christ. And God took him to this one person. And that's what I love about it. God cares about many, but he also cares about one.
Yeah.
So much to the point, he got this big-time evangelist, Philip, and he said, "I want you to go talk to this one person." And he finds himself running alongside this Ethiopian eunuch that he has no idea who he is. Now, how did this all happen? Like, one has to ask, well, how can you be in a position where you're snatched up into the air and you find yourself in another place? Or suddenly you're talking to a foreigner who's going to maybe lead his nation to God. I mean, how do you find yourself in that situation? Well, if you look at the very beginning of this passage, there's several things that highlight this. The Lord said to Philip, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, a couple things are nuanced there that you could really take to the bank in terms of how you can prepare yourself to be a person who has these divine encounters. One is, he heard God. He knew how to listen to God.
Yeah.
I talked to Lauren Cunningham, who just passed away. He was in my house a few years ago. And I said, "What's the most important thing you trained?" Because he trained, like, I don't know, millions maybe? Of young people through all his ministry there throughout the world. I said, "What do you think is the most important to teach young people?" He said, "Teach them how to listen to God." Mm. Imagine that. If you could really hear God, how would your life be different?
Yeah.
I mean, if you authentically heard him, would you go after it then? Would things shift if you really could hear his voice? Fundamentally, I found that as I became a Christian, that it's often hard to hear God's voice literally. So we've been trained to hear him through the Word of God. So we say that's why we go to church, listen to his Word, or study the Bible. So it's been centered upon Scriptures, which is really important. But I found it did a disservice. Because the truth is, God speaks to us through many ways.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that not only does he speak to us through like the word as we know it, the Bible, but maybe it's more about seeing the voice of God. Do you ever think about that? What if you could see the voice of God? Some people have the ability, they say, when sounds play, to see colors of the sounds. Well, what if God's voice has colors? What if it has images? What if he's been speaking to you in a code you haven't been tuned into? Wow. Because you've been centered only on the Bible. It's not to discount the importance and the primacy of the Word of God and how significant, but it's also raising the attention, I think, of all those who follow him. I mean, he's speaking to you in lots of ways.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible, in fact, the Bible itself says he's speaking to people through visions and dreams in Joel chapter 2. In Romans 1, he says he speaks to you through nature. And then if you look at the very fundamental idea in Genesis, the Pentateuch, in the very first book of the Bible, he says man is made in the image of God. And so that means you're like portals, magnifiers of God. And so actually, when you're interacting and intersecting with one another on a Sunday, or with the guy at the convenience store, or with your coworker, God could be speaking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you really saw that God could be speaking to you through your neighbor, or through the homeless person, the houseless person, or through the person that you're working with. How much more attentive would we be to one another?
Yeah.
How much more respect would we have for the voices that are in front of us, if God could be speaking to you through them? You see, maybe it's not simply the Word of God. That to me is easy sometimes. What's really difficult is to see God's voice through the interactions that you're having every day. If you capture this idea, your whole life will change. Because then your life with God is not relegated to 1 hour on Sunday or your Bible study on Wednesday night. What happens is that every moment that you're working with clients, with people, customers, your family, you're like listening for God. So he listened to God. It was just like a natural thing, but it wasn't just sound. It was through images.
Yeah.
God speaks to us through people. I was looking at reading one of the C.S. Lewis' great quotes I hadn't seen until just a few years ago. But I'll summarize it. Basically, he says, if we could really see God, or see people as God sees people, we'd be tempted to worship them as gods and goddesses.
Wow.
And what does he mean by that? He doesn't mean they're gods and goddesses, but he's saying there's such magnificence to his image bearers. So when you look at each other, there's a brilliance. There's a magnification of the supernatural power of God in every human being. Every person is like a miracle that they're alive.
Yeah.
Listening to God. Man, fundamentally, it's not even like clearly mentioned here, but the reason why he could have this great interaction and go up in the sky and be beamed up is because he heard God's voice.
Mm.
So you're wondering why you're kind of bored? Well, maybe because you haven't heard him lately.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot of exciting things to talk about with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can listen to. But just put yourself in a position not only to hear a voice on Sunday morning, but to see him in every interaction.
Mm.
And watch how your life changes as a church.
Wow.
And then he says, he then went to the desert road. That's the second thing. He not only listened, he took a path down the desert road. Like often when you want to hear God's voice or be a part of what he wants to do, it's down a desert road. I mean, is that one of the first things you want to think about when you want to take a vacation or a fun trip? Let's just go to the desert. Not usually. This is like a 60-mile journey for him. But for many of the times, if you look at heroes through the Bible, for them to experience God, they usually have to go through some type of desert road where it's barren. Some of you came this morning and go, man, I don't know why I've been going through so much suffering. Why does it feel like there's so much wilderness that I've been walking through? It's because God's preparing you to meet him.
Wow.
That's where the barrenness provides a backdrop for you to see the colors of God's voice. Because in that thick, abundant forest that maybe you've been living in, it's hard to see God. But when sometimes things are taken away, he exposes things that he wants you to see. Not to harm you or to shame you, but to heal you, to encourage you, to come alongside of you. So he listened to God, and then he was willing to take the desert road, to see it as a road of suffering that would lead to a place where he could experience God more deeply. Then he comes upon this eunuch, and what's interesting is the eunuch had said had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, and then you find him seated in the carriage. That pause where he went to Jerusalem to worship, and then he's returning, that's a big dramatic shift. I mean, sometimes when you read the passage, you don't understand like how big of a twist that was. It's like he's going one direction, then suddenly he's in another scene. I mean, a totally different scene. So the question one has to ask if you're reading this is, well, why is he going to Jerusalem in the first place? Well, it says he's going to worship. Then what happened? Why is he returning so fast? It's because when he got to the temple doors, they told him, you can't come in. Because Deuteronomy 23:1 says, no emasculated man can enter into the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And so he's returning. And in other words, he got alienated and rejected again. Mm-hmm. You see, if you know the history of the eunuch, it's one who's been cut off, literally. Mm-hmm. And so while they had an honored position in the royal court, they were the ones who had the ears of the kings and who could protect the harem and work alongside of all the wives of the king. They were trusted individuals, but to the general society, they were mocked. They were known as the people that were cut off, the alienated ones, the people who could not bear children. Yeah. Like in Asian culture, if you didn't have the son, if you didn't have the progeny, the kids following after you, it's like, dude, you're not blessed. So he was the unblessed one, the cursed one. So even though it looked like he had it all, he's in the royal court, he had nothing. So man, he's hungry. He heard about this God in Jerusalem. So he's going for it. But then he gets to the door, the religious people say, sorry, you can't come in. Imagine the dejection he must have felt. The one hope maybe God could bring to him, he's now not experiencing that. He's alone again. And he's in his chariot. And that's when God, in his brilliant love and beauty, he sees him. He sees his hurt. He sees his alienation. And he sends one of his best, Philip, to drop in on him. And Philip's not having just a chill. It's not easy like a Sunday morning to come in and walk in. I got a great muffin. I got like this egg coming out. I go, dude, this is the best breakfast I've had at church ever. It's not hard for me to come from Orange County to come here for that. But if it's hard for Philip, I want you to take this desert road and you don't even know where I'm going to take you, man. Just start heading that way. Wow. Yeah. And he just sees a guy running down the tree. Yeah, follow that guy. Start running after him. And he's hauling, man. And he's hauling next to the guy, the Ethiopian eunuch. He's looking at him. And he's like, hey, what are you reading? And he's reading Isaiah. He's reading the scrolls. Yeah. And then he goes, well, how am I going to know what this is? Come on, hop on in. Hop on in, in fact. So Philip finds himself now hopping in a chariot with this guy he doesn't know from another country. And then he goes, okay, do you understand this? Philip asks this guy, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, well, how can I unless you instruct me? And then what they were reading was this passage. He was like a sheep led to the slaughter. And as the lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Why is he relating to this? Because he's been cut off.
Wow, yeah.
So it says, a lamb is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated. He received no justice. So who is this guy? He's just like me. Tell me, who? Do you know who this guy is that Isaiah's talking about? Then Isaiah, or Philip said, well, it's Jesus, man. Jesus is the guy that goes after the one. That's why I'm here with you. He brought me, I had no idea I was supposed to be here. And here I am in your chariot. I'm here to tell you the good news. Jesus came for you, man. He loves you. You don't have to be alone. In fact, you know what he says? And I imagine he kind of scrolled it up. If you imagine the scroll, he's kind of rolling it up. He goes, look here, look at here. And we know it as Isaiah 56, 3 through 5, but this is what he probably read to the eunuch. Don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will never let me be part of his people. And don't let the eunuch say, I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future. For this is what the Lord says. I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. I will give them within the walls of my house a memorial and a name far greater than sons and daughters could give. For the name I give him is an everlasting one. It will never disappear. Man, even as I read this, I'm getting chills all the way through my body. Can you imagine the eunuch going, Jesus, he's like me? And he was humiliated just like me? And he's going to give me a name better than sons or daughters? That's why I imagine he suddenly felt the love of God. And as they're walking by some water, he says, look, there's some water. He goes, why can't I be baptized? He realized he could step into the holy water. And that he could be immersed in the love of God. There's a woman that I've been reading. It's probably one of the best books I've ever read in my life. It was just by accident. I was talking to one of my clients who lived in the Midwest, and he's you know, I thought he said to read this book, but I later talked to him. He said, I didn't tell you to read that book. So either I wasn't listening, or somehow God was speaking to him, or I was speaking to me through him somehow. But it's a book called, and it's the worst title, and it has the worst cover ever. You would never buy the book based upon its cover or the title. It's called The Humility of God. It's like the worst. Like, would you read that? The Humility of God. Wow. But her name, the woman who wrote it was a Franciscan nun called Ilia Delio. D-E-L-I-O. Brilliant thinker. She has like this science background as well as like a theological background. She merges the school, the two schools of thought. But she simply said this, that I was captured by it. And I couldn't finish the book. I mean, I kept stopping like all throughout the book because there's so much goodness. And it's like, it wasn't as complicated. It was just profound. It was simply profound. But the one image that I could not forget was she says, the love of God is like a waterfall. It doesn't stop. And I just like got messed up about that. I said, the love of God is like a waterfall. It doesn't stop. No matter what I do, it just keeps coming.
Yeah.
No matter how broken and screwed up I am, how alienated or how messed up I am, man, the love of God just keeps coming. That's how much he loves us. Don't put God like he's like us in that way. You know, where we put up walls, we cancel people, we get disturbed by them, jaded. No, no, his love doesn't stop. It's like a waterfall.
Wow.
So what do we learn about this? Well, if we're going to really have these divine encounters, we've got to learn to listen to God. You know, so put ourselves in a position to not only hear his voice through the Bible, but also through one another. And through your circumstances, through visions and dreams. And watch how your Christian life changes. It becomes dynamic. You'll find yourself in places like I do all the time. I say, how in the world did I get here? I have no idea. And this is the best ever. Like, I still feel like a kid in a candy shop. I tell people, man, I can't wait to get up. Because I'm looking forward to see where God wants to take me. So my life's not a journey where like you're on a dance floor in here. I'm not trying to lead God to a certain place on the floor. But a dance is when you're totally with somebody. You're inebriated with them. You're intoxicated with them at the moment.
Yeah.
And you just flow with God. That thing is that type of life is really cool. Yeah. It's not very linear, but it's very exciting.
Yeah.
The other thing that he did was he was willing to go through the suffering, the desert road. And then the third thing we saw, that he engaged in conversation. And as you engage in conversations, meaningful ones with people, you start to see God and hear God. And then there's some of you, I think, you know, maybe you don't react to Philip because you come today feeling like the outcast. Mm. If you think about the idea of LGBTQ+, he's the Q. Mm. You know, he's the queer. But for all those who feel like they're outside, God baptizes you. He says, no, I baptize you with my love.
Yeah.
There is no glass ceilings for you.
Yeah.
I receive you fully into my temple, into my house. I was in this encounter, like in a situation, I was with this guy that he ran this makeup line. I think you guys would know it. It's called Too Faced. And he was one of my trainings that I do with leaders. And he invited me over to his mansion, like in Laguna Beach or Corona Del Mar. And he goes, I need to talk to you. And so I went over and saw his partner and him, their little dog. He had this really cute little dog. It's like the size of a rat, you know, that type of size, like really small. But this dog, you know, so I was there just enjoying the time there. But he sat, he goes, hey, sit here, got me something to drink. Then he started crying. I go, what's up, Jeremy? He goes, Dave. And then he starts shaking. They tell me I'm going to hell. And then he started quaking. I mean, literally, he started, you see him just getting wrecked. But then as he looked up to me, he goes, but Dave, I really love Jesus. Am I going to hell? He then looked at me and asked. And I looked at him and said, Jeremy, I think you love Jesus and a lot of people I know. Or Jared. And as I looked at Jared, I just thought about myself, how far I've come. Because I grew up in a school of religion, which excluded people. I would be one of those people that probably would excluded the eunuch. But what I find is the more I get to know God, and I could be wrong, but the more that he receives all of us,
yeah.
And he loves us all the same,
yeah.
And if you're seeking him, he doesn't put any barriers to you.
Yeah.
He loves you just as you are. So today, if you kind of feel outside, maybe you feel alone, you feel alienated, you feel cut off by something, know that God's here to welcome you.
Yeah.
Welcome you home. So, 99 Church, it's been 5 years. Congratulations. But it's just begun.
Yeah.
Your journey with God is a beautiful one. Don't let it be relegated into this illogical box that's a journey.
Yeah.
But see, the walk with God is a dance where you can encounter him in magical ways, in ordinary ways, with people that you're interacting with every day. Through visions and dreams, and also through his word. So may God bless each of you as you continue to pursue him.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.